Welcome to Biohackers Lab, a place where we talk to smart people who are figuring out how to improve health in interesting ways. Join us to discover how you can biohack your life, your body, starting today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Biohackers Lab. On today's show, I've got Timo Ahopelto. Timo is the executive chairman of Valky, which is the company we're going to be talking about today with Human Charger. He's also an investor at Lifeline Ventures, which is an investment company. Also, interestingly, he's a book author, and I'm sure he's also a biohacker himself if he's involved with a company like Human Charger. So welcome to the show, Timo.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Sure. You're quite interesting then. Just going on with a bit of your history there, how you've invested in a lot of companies. I mean, I was actually quite surprised when I saw your bio that you were the first investor in Supercell.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Finnish games company that obviously people know about, Clash of Clans and Clash Royale and some of the other games.
Yeah, so it means, yeah, you're a really smart investor there, so.
All lucky, either way.
Yeah. Today, the reason I got you on the show is because I wanted to talk about transcranial bright light therapy. Yes. And in particular, the product that you've invested in, which is the Human Charger from Valky. So if you wouldn't mind, could you just explain to us exactly how did the Human Charger come around?
Yeah, it's there are two guys from northern Finland where it's kind of a pretty much dark all over the, you know, winter time, so the sun never gets up, and they were like depressed, wanted to feel better, and then the other one had this idea and experience that you can actually affect circadian rhythms and you can affect mood by projecting light into the head instead of projecting it via eyes. And then the other guy, being a Nokia engineer, they got the idea that, hey, people are used to having these sort of things in their ears, so the ear canal is like the direct hole into your head, and they started experimenting, and that was the birth of the device. And for some reason, when I heard the company's name, Valky means light. It's a northern dialect in Finland. It means kind of a light or fire. I almost, because I knew a little bit of the background of these two entrepreneurs, I immediately kind of got the idea that, hey, it's mental health, it's light, so maybe it is something like this. And it is a weird enough idea to get excited about. So.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that. So it's the Finnish word for light or fire, did you say?
Yeah, that's right. It's a northern dialect. So Valky is, it's like, you know, it's like light and fire and these sort of like a positive things.
Yeah, okay, that's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you got two guys who just saw an opportunity and went, oh, okay, yeah, we're looking at how light makes you feel better, and then I know how to make the light, you know, actually take it to the people too. So and what we're talking about here is something called transcranial bright light therapy, which is different from other light therapies. So from what I could read there is that, because what we're dealing with transcranial bright light in this particular case is using blue light versus red light or infrared light.
Yeah. It's an interesting, this whole like a light spectrum idea. It's a really interesting topic, and if you look at this traditional bright light, so the bright light boxes or bright light therapy lamps that you are sitting next to for 1 hour a day, and then you are kind of at least supposed to be consuming light via your eyes, although there is definitely other effect as well. Typically those lights to have like a refreshing effect and add to energy and, you know, mood and all that, they have the blue enrichment in the light. And the reason is that actually how the kind of the receptors of different light types are working in your brain or you know, inside of your central nervous system, they are based on the proteins called opsins, which are light sensitive family of proteins. And there's a little bit over half a dozen opsins that are working in a human brain, and they're all sensitive to different wavelengths. So they're basically observing different wavelengths of light. So one is for blue, one is for red, and so forth. And then it's almost like if you would go to the online science repositories and spend a couple of hours there, you will find the kind of people have been studying that, you know, the curves, how they are observing lights, the different options. They're almost like built in the human system in a way that we can sense a lot of different kind of wavelengths of light. And the blue light seems to be the one that has these mood elevating effects. And there's a couple of options whose kind of absorption curves, so the way how they take light in as proteins, are exactly on these like a blue light peaks. And what comes to the Valky or human charger lights, it's not in a way that you only have a blue light there, but you actually have the spectrum is a lot broader. So you also have elements of red light with the kind of a very long wavelengths.
So that's built into the Valky?
Yeah.
So into the human charger?
Yeah, that's right. So if you would look at if you would look at, like, we have been looking at the light spectrum that the LEDs are actually projecting, is you have a high intensity in the blue range, and then you have a very long kind of a tail towards the kind of a red spectrum.
Okay, all right. So yeah, the LEDs in the earbuds aren't just projecting the one particular spectrum. They're also covering some.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you take the, you will probably show during this show, you know, what the light looks like. But for a human eye, it of course looks like a normal, like a white light, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the human eye is actually very insensitive to light. I mean, for a human eye, different type of light spectrums all look white, because you have a right combination of like a blue, green, and red, and the combinations can be different, but they all look like white light. And the way how we have kind of a tailored the light spectrum in our human charger device is in a way that there's a lot of blue and then there's this kind of a red tail into it. So
okay.
if you look at like a very bad indoor lighting, for example, I mean, in a supermarket, some people even get sick close to those like refrigerators and all that. The light spectrum is not continuous like you have in a sunlight. It's a totally continuous light spectrum, but the light spectrum is something like this. So it's a very kind of a non-continuous, and people are today debating about the health effects of, you know, being in an office lights that are like a really bad from the spectrum compared to sunlight that is very kind of a bluish origin, because, you know, the atmosphere makes it look like blue. I mean, the sky is blue, right?
Mm.
And that's why the sunlight is also very kind of a bluish tilted.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because a lot of the people in sort of the biohacking community might think of sometimes initially if they've just entered and they're looking at lights and how a light can make you either healthy or unhealthy, that sometimes blue light can be seen as a negative thing. But what we're talking about there is, yeah, exactly what you mentioned. If people are exposed to bad artificial blue lights in the wrong circumstances, wrong time of day. But in this case, we're actually using it to manipulate it for a health benefit.
Yeah, that's right. And then the blue light can be very bad for your eyes. And that is the one of the kind of a bad side effects of the bright light therapy lamps or some of them. If you are kind of sitting next to a lamp and you're staring at it and then it's blue enriched light, you know, the blue light kind of penetrates to your retina directly, and that's called the blue light hazard. And over time, if you are exposed to a lot of blue lights, you know, it's not really good for your eye and eyesight, and it can kind of destroy your retina in the long term. So if you see like a blue light, don't look at them, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's exactly actually why I'm wearing these particular lenses, because they're yellow. So when I have to do work on the computer, definitely want to protect my retina and my macula. So
yeah, that's right. And that blue light hazard is kind of a real thing. But it's interesting, because this like a light spectrum, I mean, it's not typically, if you read like literature about bright light therapy lamps and the light boxes, it talks about how many kind of luxes you have there, which is the kind of the power of the light measure. And you need to have the certain power or intensity of the light. And they're always measured on the visible range. So lux is the measure for that, just to simplify things a little bit. And you can even see that the same very well-established researchers have, for example, studied post-traumatic stress disorder and I got the really good results into a clinical trial with one bright light therapy lamp. And then they have done a bigger trial with exactly the same type of setting, maybe double blind kind of randomized one. And they have changed the bright light therapy lamp, exactly the same kind of a power on the visible length, but maybe a manufacturer has kind of a sponsored the bright light therapy lamps for the trial, and they didn't get the result. And then they wonder that, you know, why is this? And what I claim and what we claim, we have been studying a lot of kind of a health effects of the different light spectrums. And for example, we have been running studies with anxiety, so acute anxiety, as an example, and it seems that for acute anxiety, panic attack type of things, a different light spectrum is effective compared to jet lag and winter depression or seasonal affective disorder, for example. And you know, why is that? I mean, the scientists have not yet been able to explain the brain. I mean, brain is a really difficult organ to study. I mean, compared to cancer, for example, you can take the tumor out and you can study it, but you can't take the brain out and study it. So it's a very difficult organ to access. But if you look at the kind of those half a dozen opsins that are distributed in a human brain, each of them having different places where they are located, each of them having a different kind of light sensitiveness in terms of the wavelengths. I mean, there could be this type of a matrix that you will find, like, these organs are important for these type of brain functions and they are sensitive for this type of a light, which is, for example, in a electronic stimulation for, you know, nerves and muscles and that part of science and medical devices. They have been creating this matrix over year that this type of a current to a this type of a knee injury, for example, is effective for athletes. And this type of a wavelength for this type of a muscle injury is effective for this type of a trauma. So it means that kind of a different wavelengths are definitely having different efficacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fully agree with that, because the courses I've done with the photobiomodulation, which is what we're talking about here. Definitely the science behind that is always tweaking the spectrum of the light, the density of the light, the surface area, the exposure time, and I know of one particular company in the UK where I'm based, where they always mention that, you know, when you look at the research studies, it can vary so much because of all those parameters that you just said, and how tissues and different tissues in the body in different areas will respond to different parameters. And people are just trying to tweak things and play with things and see different effects. So that's interesting how you're saying that. So the company is now playing with the wavelength in the unit for different wavelengths, or is this something different that you're going with now with the anxiety side of things?
Yeah. So if you go to our website, you can find some papers that we have published and conference presentations, and I think that there's the anxiety one as well.
This is a different unit from the.
We have been exploring it in a way that we have been doing, like, if you think about the unit that is on the market right now, it's of course the same wavelength for all the units, because, I mean, you can't do it in a way that Monday we have this wavelength and Tuesday we have this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a kind of a CE certified medical device that is in a market in Europe, for example. And then of course you can't change the parameters the way how you want, and you shouldn't do it. I think that it's what we have currently, it's very optimal for increasing energy, you know, fighting winter blues and when you are traveling across time zones for jet lag. Mm-hmm. So and that is the kind of a blue enriched kind of a light, which in general by scientists is also kind of a thought to we have this kind of a revitalizing effect of light. The red light is typically, as you probably know, if you have been taking those courses, it's typically associated with cell regeneration, the red light, and you have all sorts of red light devices for skin conditions and all that. So it's a kind of anti-inflammatory effect that the light has, and people think that this kind of a red light could be very effective for it. But back to your question, so we have been starting to build that matrix over years. It's of course a very time consuming and a kind of a tedious exercise, but it's the exercise that you want to do. So kind of a trying out different wavelengths for different conditions and finding out that what is this matrix of the human, you know, body in a way, that what type of a wavelength affects to what type of a condition, kind of a, when it's projected with this transcranial light therapy like we have.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, you're still delivering the different wavelengths through the ears.
Yeah, that's right. So and we kind of found it in the very early days. So even before we had the device in the market, I mean, we are going back to the year 2009, 2008. We almost found this by kind of accident. I mean, I was myself talking to a lot of US bright light researchers who were just wondering this, that, hey, I'm using the lamp A, I get good results. I'm using the lamp B, I get different results. So is the lamp the difference, or is it the study setup that is the difference, or were the patient somehow different? So that was the one observation, that, hey, you know, there could be something with the quality of light. And then in the very early devices that we built mostly for ourselves and for the kind of a friends, fools and family, as you say, where you kind of test your first product and want to get the feedback in 2008, 2007 even, when we were sourcing the LEDs, we sourced from, we measured the lux, so the light intensity. We sourced it from one place, it worked great. We sourced it from the second place. It looked from the light intensity and power, it looked the same, but it didn't have the effect. So then we started to, you know, we bought the spectral measurement equipment and we started to measure the spectral curves, and then we kind of concluded that, hey, these are entirely different. So they all look the same from the light intensity point of view, but they are totally different type of lights. Mm. And then that kind of started the exploration to first to kind of optimize what we currently have in the market, that is really for this kind of energy boost, no matter what the condition is, and then you have some of these other kind of a more medical conditions, which we kind of know.
So I guess that's going to bring me on to my question about the function that we're talking about and the improvements that can come from this type of light therapy. So you've mentioned mood. Is that probably the primary sort of benefit that people are looking for when they're using this type of unit?
Yeah, I think that it's mood in the broad sense. So where the whole kind of story started initially, it was the winter blues. I mean, these two founders were winter depressed, which is very easy to imagine if you go up to Oulu latitudes in winter, because like I said, it's dark all the time, so the sun never gets up for 4 or 5 months in practice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's very
a lot
dark
of darkness. and then they were discussing that, hey, I'm gonna solve this, and I'm gonna light the whole of my house, so buy, you know, bright light lamps into every room and, you know, have them on all the time. And then the other guy was saying that, hey, you are just wasting energy because you need to get light inside of your head and not to, you know, light up your walls of the house, right? So that doesn't benefit anything. So the small tiny lamp can be more effective than this humongous setup. And that was just the mood elevating effects. That was the kind of a starting point. And we started to study seasonal affective disorder patients in the beginning. So people who are like extremely depressed during winter, which is only a small fraction, but we wanted to test it with the kind of a most difficult population that is kind of not really responding to other therapies. And the results were very good in those early studies and then in the later studies as well. So you can pretty much say that seven or eight out of 10 people who have severe winter depression become totally symptoms free in this kind of a therapy period of 6 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really significant, and typically people get the benefit already after a few days of use. So 3 to 4 days, you can already start seeing the symptoms go away. And that was it, the 1 12-minute daily dose. And then we started to kind of get people reporting to us that they have been using this for kind of elevating their mood in general as well, which takes you out of this like a totally depressed segment of people into something that during winter time you can call winter blues. So if the severe one is winter depression, the winter blues is the easier or milder form. And if you go even to New York latitudes, I mean 10-20% of people actually have like lower mood during winter time, and it's a dependent of many topics, like when the sun has abnormal kind of a circle, so it gets the sun kind of rises to and it's the day is just like a too little, basically your circadian rhythm starts to be out of sync, and your sleep suffers. So typically what winter blues and winter depressed people say is that they sleep really badly, and I certainly belong to that group of people, so my sleep is terrible in winter. The second one is that they have these carbohydrate and sugar cravings. For some reason the internal kind of hormonal control gets like bad, and, mm-hmm. and then the third thing is of course is that they don't feel energized during the days because of these two things, and then in general because of lack of light, and those are the types of the things that we are addressing, and the mood is really the key here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense too that, as you said, you take an extreme case, and you can see a change in energy, mood, and that's also the way I like to think, is that if it's good for someone in that sort of extreme case, then it's that same pathway can be stimulated even in someone who clinically doesn't fit that diagnosis. But it's a spectrum, and you know, you don't want to sometimes wait until you're clinically diagnosed with something. You just know inherently know, like, no, I'm not feeling right. You know, I'm not getting enough light. That's why I can see the benefit of this product there, that people don't need to wait until they're clinically diagnosed with something too. It's worth trying out just to see.
Yeah. And in general, like people are, I think that with this light, people are, these days, although today they're still too lazy on that. So in the sense, I mean, if you think about the humans and you think the whole life on Earth, without sounding like a too dramatic, but the sunlight is really powering everything. I mean, if you cut the sunlight out, there's no more energy to the system. And humans, I mean, all the animals, plants, and probably humans as well, therefore, we have the daily rhythm. So we are supposed to go to bed when it's dark, right? And we are supposed to get up when it's, you know, sunny again and light is up there. Then we are supposed to be active during the day and rest during the night. And right now, if you think about humans who have kind of spread all around the globe for the northern latitudes from Africa and all those places, I mean, the sun and the light conditions are totally different. You think about people who are working in offices. I mean, the typical office lights, even in the summer, I mean, for our brains and for our body, it's almost like we would still be in a cave because the kind of light intensity is just not enough for us. And that's why we easily get out of sync, and that's why we easily just, I mean, our brains are not getting enough light, and that leads to all sorts of conditions. So,
we're just getting exposed to those poor wavelengths all the time. So from a lot of people, and I know you mentioned New York there, because I actually happened to have just, I can't remember where I just saw it, but they were looking at the actual penetration of sunlight in New York itself with all the high-rise buildings, and people just don't get enough sunlight just living in New York itself in this particular situation, because the amount of sun can't get down into the street level and into the properties too. So you could live in a very built-up area, but you might not actually even get enough light because of the actual construction around you, not just your latitude alone.
Yeah, that's totally right, and all that kind of a shadowing effect and all that and I just think that the next kind of a 10-20 years, I mean, there's going to be a lot of kind of light related inventions and a lot of like light related like health benefits are going to be uncovered, and this is going to get kind of a more critical. And the reason is that, I mean, there is this daily rhythmicity that we have, and we are dependent on having this light. And it has been a little bit kind of a downrated. I discussed with a couple of like a really kind of a grand old men of light therapy light therapy in the US, and they were pretty much kind of the among the first ones who were starting to do light therapy research, and in the 80s. So this is that young segment. So the first, like the real light therapy things and the light boxes and all that, they were really studied in the 80s, and they were saying that when they started it, everybody was saying that that's kind of a Mickey Mouse science. So you can't really cure anything with light. I mean, you need to have like pharmaceuticals, right? So you need to affect the cells, and you need to affect them in a targeted, or at that time it was still very non-targeted way, and you need to alter the biochemical reactions of a body. And when they started to get good results, they were basically saying that, hey, that can't be true, and that science doesn't work, and all that. So it has been a long way. And I think that Finland is actually probably among the countries where light therapy in general, even outside of our devices, is used most. So for some reason, there has been a lot of light therapy research in Finland by the Finnish academics and scientists and then the companies as well. So I think that we have the highest penetration of light therapy in Finland. So.
Well, I can imagine that when you were talking about the winter blues and people using the bright light bulbs. Would most Finns have some sort of device at home then? Or is it you see it in the supermarkets there, you know, bright light bulbs or something?
It's interesting. I mean, we have about 5 million people or 5.5 million people in Finland. And the prevalence of winter blues, so not the winter depression is only 1-2%, but the winter blues is somewhere between 10-20%. So we have like a 1 million plus people who are suffering from this kind of a condition. And the annual sales of bright light devices in Finland, so everything, our device, you know, all the Philips lamps, everything that you have on the kind of a high end to the low end, it's somewhere around 30,000 units. So the market is very small, and that's what I said earlier, is that if you think about light, people are not yet kind of considering it in a way that, hey, you know, light is something that is very essential for me. The benefits are so essential that I really need to get myself in sync with the sun if I'm kind of exposed to abnormal light conditions. And that's why I was saying that there's now this is almost like the, you know, the microbiome, right? I mean, if you look like 5 years back, I mean, in a global microbiome conference, you had like 50 to 100 scientists. And right now there's thousands. And then this, like, you got this, your next brain, kind of a hype that even economists and, you know, Wall Street Journal type of publications are writing on the front page. I think that the same is coming to light when the kind of the scientific understanding and the health benefits are kind of more and more uncovered right now. And the big part of that is that if you look at the kind of fMRI and other brain research techniques, they have just right now developing to the level where you can actually start measuring these sort of things on a kind of a routine basis as a scientist. So if I would be a young scientist, I would focus on the brain. There's a lot of interesting discoveries to be made in the future.
The brain is such an untapped science, and it's we've got a long time to go before we fully understand it. Or I don't think we'll truly understand the body. It's just too complex. But we'll get close enough. You know, we can at least do stuff where we can tweak things. And it's true what you say. I mean, I find it fascinating how people know they want to go on holiday to somewhere sunny, so because they feel much better. And a lot of the time, I say to people, you know, it's not just because you go away on a holiday and you get that social benefit of getting away and de-stressing, but most of the time people go to somewhere and they expose their skin and their body to more light. And that's probably another massive reason why people actually feel better when they go on holiday.
Yeah, that's right. And there's, if you look at the light therapy research and if you look at our research as well, it's typically in a way that like a one week intervention, so 1 week kind of a light period, you will see the benefit during that 1 week. And you can imagine yourself going to a sunny place during winter. It takes like a 1 or 2 days and you start to feel the kind of energizing effect, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the light. And then when you get back, it takes about 1 week for it to wear off. And you can see it in our studies as well. If you look at the data, I mean, the 2 or 3 week follow-up, after the kind of the human torture has been ended, you can see that the depression scores start to kind of climb up again, and that's it. So this is like vitamin C, that you can't store it for an indefinite amount, so it kind of wears off, the effect wears off basically, and it has to do something with the mechanism probably, and I'm using here the term probably because I don't think that there's a scientist in the world who can explain how light really works. I mean, I've been discussing a lot of bright light scientists, and they all say that, you know, blue light, the effect is well known. Red light, the effect is well known. But how it really works is unknown. So there are only kind of theories about why people feel depressed in the winter, for example. And people, for example, think that vitamin D has a direct connection to the winter blues. But if you really look at the scientific evidence, I mean, vitamin D and winter blues are not connected. Of course, during winter time, you get less vitamin D because your skin doesn't produce it because you are not exposed to light. So of course you should somehow fill that gap in your body. But then if you look at like the studies where the vitamin D has been provided for people with winter blues, I mean, there's no kind of a correlation between those two things. And of course you have a lot of this type of a hearsay, and a lot of like magazines are writing these health things, and then they become kind of a facts. But if you talk to the guys who really study this, they are kind of all question marks still, how this is born and how what is the real mechanism behind there. Mm-hmm. And as we chatted a little bit before this, you were interested about this like hormonal controls and what is affecting. So we know, for example, of human charger that we are not affecting the melatonin. So we have studied that, and it has also been studied out. So we have published on that, and it has also been studied outside of us that we don't have an effect on melatonin cycles. And as you know, the melatonin is the night hormone. So it's kind of the circadian rhythm night hormone that gets very high when you go to bed, and then it resolves, you know, towards the morning, and then when the level is low enough, you wake up. This is of course oversimplification, but the melatonin cycle goes like this towards the from the evening to the morning, and then you have these day hormones where you have, for example, serotonin and noradrenaline and some of the other day hormones that have an opposite cycle. So they basically are low in the night, and then they are high on the daytime, and that is where the human charger kind of a hormonal control function is where we believe it's in the day hormones and not in the night hormones. So and that would also kind of reflect to what we know about this kind of that the therapy has this mood elevating effect. So of course when we are talking about serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline, those are the hormones that are typically associated with better mood and kind of a mood elevating effects. So that's the kind of the mode of action and the kind of way how the hormonal control could work with this device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I was asking about that, was that I did see how it was interesting to say that you could even use the human charger at night and that it wouldn't disturb your sleep cycle, which is what some people think. Again, blue light links to melatonin, which should disturb sleep, but saying that you actually beam this light through your ears into the temporal lobes won't actually create a disturbance in your sleep cycle.
Yeah, but this is a really interesting and this is a good discussion because it shows how little we know about these sleep cycles and light and all that. We have a lot of users who are of course very active and they are getting back with us with their comments and all that, and it seems that like people have different levels of sensitiveness to different things, of course. I mean, some people can drink coffee in the evening and they are totally good to sleep, and some people can't sleep for the whole night if they drink after 6 p.m. With light, we have users who are telling to us that, for example, in the winter time, they are using this device in the morning, like 9 a.m., they will wake up in the next morning at, you know, let's say 8 a.m. So they always, and then if they use the device 1 hour later, they will wake up, you know, 1 hour later. So that somehow that's sensitive, and it cannot be a coincidence, because people have been kind of trying it out and trying different kind of schedules. What we have also found is that especially for the energy elevation and for better kind of sleep during the winter months, some people are more responsive to light during the mornings, and some people are more responsive during the evenings. And that split seems to be about 2/3, 1/3. So 1/3 are better with evening light, you know, around 7 p.m., 8 p.m. with our device, and some people are better with morning light. And when I discussed this with some of these bright light, kind of a traditional bright light scientists, they actually said that they have kind of noticed a similar type of phenomena with the regular bright light as well. I mean, the standard of care goes in a way that if you use a light box via eyes, you should use it in the morning when you wake up. That's the standard of care. But it seems to be good for 2/3 of people, and then 1/3 are reacting better by taking the light in the evening for some reason which nobody can explain. But these are the nuances of everybody's individual. So if there's somebody listening for this and are using either our device or traditional bright light, and you feel that you're not getting benefit, you know, maybe you try to change it towards the evening when you are using the light.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, I didn't realize that people respond differently.
Yeah,
in that,
and of course, not probably in the right when you are going to bed, but somewhere, you know, towards the, or during the evening time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like with anything, which is what biohacking is meant to be at the end of the day, is N=1 experimentation and learning your own physiology, because we're all different. So the better you can understand yourself and just be aware of how your body responds, then that's you try optimize your life in that sense. So it's nice to know that you get to play with it, you know, just test it on yourself and see, you know, are you a better responder in the morning or the evening, or and I guess that gets me onto our question then of why 12 minutes. Like where did the magical 12 minute number come from?
So the magical 12 minute number, it's an like any kind of a therapy, is that you have a threshold after which it's kind of if this would be a medication or the traditional kind of a pill, you have this dose response, right? That, you know, the lower dose you don't get anything, the higher dose you get the effect. And it was just an exploration in a similar way, like we have been exploring, or everybody would explore the kind of a drug responses. The whole starting point was the activation of the brain with this fMRI studies that we did. So if you go to the very early papers that we published, you can see that the brain networks get activated after 6 minutes of this device. So you need at least 6 minutes of this to get the brain activated, and then just by pragmatic kind of trialing out, it seemed that the 12 minutes is the dose that works for most people, but it doesn't have like any other effect than what you want to have, so the refreshing effect. And it's also the timing wise, I mean, if you would wear these for 1 hour, it would be too long time. Traditional bright light therapy lamp you need to use for 30 to 60 minutes, and it's too much for people to, in that case, even you need to sit next to the lamp, so it's very difficult to be in a one position for that time. And that was the brain network activation, and then the pragmatic kind of evidence from the patients and from the users that the 12 minutes is the time to use it. So,
and then I was reading in the instruction manual that comes with the unit that you say that you would use it at different times for the 12 minutes, and then I think you wait X amount of time before you would use it again. So you time it throughout the day at different times.
For the general like energy elevation, which we have studied during the winter time, it's a 12 minutes once a day, so it's a kind of a once a day dosing.
Okay.
And it's either morning or evening, and then for jet lag, which we have studied, it was a 4 doses per day, and they are timed according to your travel plan. So there's a mobile app that you can download where you fill in, you know, when you leave and to where you leave, and based on those time zones, it kind of calculates when you need to take those those four doses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see that you've got an app on the iTunes store, so you can put it on your phone. That would be super.
Yeah, because the schedule is not complicated, but it's easier if somebody calculates it for you.
Oh yeah.
For what is the optimal timing of the doses, and that optimal timing is based on the previous research on kind of affecting, jet lag with artificial light or with external light. So
yeah, no, I think that's super helpful because when you're traveling multiple time zones and you get confused and think, but what time is it? Where am I? It'd be easy if, that's why you want a smartphone, something that actually is clever enough to say, right, take your dose now.
Yeah. So how about yourself? So you have been using the device, right, Thor?
Yes, yeah. And that, so I was lucky enough to get my hands on one of your devices over here.
Yeah.
And, my story is that I come from South Africa, so I come from a very sunlight-rich environment. And I moved to Europe about 2 years ago now, or 3 years ago now, I think time flies. But you don't quite realize just not getting to be around light all the time. Mm-hmm. And especially where I was from, Johannesburg, it's you get the ultimate blue skies and just sunlight. And so anyway, when I got my hands on the unit, I went hell for leather, and I just it means that I used it quite a bit just to see what it would be like anything. It's like taking a supplement. Sometimes you want to see, let me just take a few of these and see if I get what kind of reaction, and sort of learn your spectrum. And the mood change was immediate for me. I'm a believer in light anyway, because I use it in practice. I use the infrared and low level light therapy for treating conditions, but It was noticeable. It was very soothing, just having the light come through your ears. And not only the light, but also because the bulbs have a slight warmth, it was quite that was also quite nice, even just having that. I didn't find it discomforting. But definitely, I would fully agree that I felt I responded with a mood change, which intrigued me even more. And I always love testing things on myself, and I could see the benefit of this device straight away because of that. I was thinking, what a simple way just to pop these in your ears. Do that. I personally keep it next to my bed in the morning, so when I wake up in the morning, as I'm trying to truly wake up, I pop these in, and I get my dose first thing that way.
So you have the same. I do the same. So that's why I do the same. So when I wake up, I put them immediately on, and then either if I'm in a bed for a little bit longer, I finish it there, or then I just, kind of start walking and, brushing the teeth and all that, getting up.
And time efficiency, as you mentioned, talking about how if people had to traditionally be 30 to 60 minutes of their time, in front of this lamp, I mean, how easy is it that when most people are trying to sort of snooze and wake up, that you just pop these in, and that's also stimulating your brain, getting you ready for the day. So
and I think that it's a really big one. I mean, the compliance to bright light therapy, traditional bright light therapy, is very low. So typically 80% of people quit it because it's too cumbersome. I have two kids, for example, and just I would need to be like a 1 hour next to the lamp in the morning when, I need to take them to school and kindergarten and, get the breakfast and get ready and all that. And it's interesting because like the standard of care, for example, in Finland for light therapy is in a way that you need to have a powerful enough lamp, and then you need to sit like half a meter from the lamp for 30 to 60 minutes. But you don't need to stare the lamp, and you're actually not allowed to stare the lamp because of the blue light hazard issues. And one might then, of course, ask that, is it really the eyes that is the mode of action, or is it the exposure of your head and your brain to the light? Because the kind of light penetrates the skull. Of course, the wavelength changes, but the light penetrates the skull, and there's some studies about that that have been done, for example, by the scientists at GE already some time ago, just looking at the light penetration through the skull. And there have been even ideas that if you could do like the brain imaging with light, so if you project light via skull, you could kind of have a, read different things based on how the light penetrates and kind of reflects out of your head. So
I do find that very, it's like a contradiction, saying like, no, you need light through your eyes to improve your your winter blues, but don't actually look at it, you know, or don't try and not get the light through your eyes. It doesn't seem yeah. quite right there.
Again,
as we've mentioned, yeah, definitely excessive blue light on your retina is not what you want. So I would definitely say, you know, this is a nicer option.
Yeah,
because you don't have to expose yourself to that artificial wavelength. And as you mentioned, how it's so variable with the different devices, and how do you know that you're going to get the best benefit?
So
side effects wise, is there any sort of like anything? There's always disclaimers, and people can read the packaging. But are there any other sort of concerns that you think people should be aware of from usage?
So some people when they start the treatment in winter time, for example, they might get kind of initially headache when they're using this for a couple of like the first times, and it is like the similar type of things you are getting when you're starting to kind of even traditional bright light therapy in the beginning, and if you look at the kind of a headache research, which is pretty much related to migraine and these kind of a cluster headaches, it's typically like that the sudden changes in light conditions are actually triggering headache for some people. So it must be kind of related to that when the kind of a delta of the light intensity is too big for some people, it kind of initially triggers a headache. But those headaches are typically going out then. They're kind of wearing off after a day or two. It doesn't mean that you have the headache for 2 days, but when you are kind of using it after it, some people are experiencing that immediately after they use.
So initial users might have that adjustment period where they notice that some people might be sensitive, as you mentioned, get the headache, but it's not a long-term situation.
And it is in the packaging, like you said, because you need to have
always
it there.
Read the, that's why instructions are in there, and hopefully people do read them.
Yeah, that's right. The device itself, we have tried to do it in a way that you only have a one button that you need to push, and it's all kind of a preset for that kind of a 12-minute and the optimal light intensity and all that. So,
yeah, no, I love the device. You know, as probably most people tell you, that it does look like an old school iPod. You know, easily it's recognizable from the that sort of design shape there, and as you said, because it's got a one click button, it's very, very user friendly, like incredibly user friendly. I must definitely congratulate your designers, because it looks very slick, and even the packaging, you know, when people get the, I'll just show, like I've got this the box here, which it kind of looks like an iPhone-y kind of cell phone kind of box, but some of the just little things, you know. I love it when a company looks at little details of just like these boxes and how they pop up, and you've got, you know, you're proud of your design in Finland. Definitely your guys must be congratulated on doing a really good job and thinking about just little details like that, you know. It makes it nicer when you get a product like that. Because I did notice when it came to the settings that on a human charger unit, you can actually change the lux or the intensity where you could hold it down. Can you maybe just sort of explain the thinking behind why someone would want to do that, when they would want to do that?
Yeah, I would say that 99% of people don't need it. It is just, you know, when you have enough engineers and medical professionals designing a product, you want to build that because you can build it.
So
I don't think that the regular user or even a very kind of a sophisticated user like yourself should really care about that. I mean, I think that the best way, for example, if some people feel that like 6 minutes is enough, like I was explaining earlier, I mean, you can change the time between 6 to 12 minutes, for example. Mm-hmm. So if some people are saying that like 6 minutes is enough for me, I mean, you have this circle, the light circle in the device that shows that, you know, how the time kind of elapses. So you can just take the plugs off and press it off. So that's probably the easier than start kind of a changing the times, but you can do it on your computer. That's right.
That I mean, that timer with the lights ticked down, makes it again so simple to see exactly how much longer you've got, you know, from a minute's perspective. And the power unit to see that, when do you need to charge and not charge it.
So we have tried to make it as simple, but and we are not promoting it. So if you really need to read the manual as you have probably read it, to figure out that, hey, I can set this up. But the whole idea is in a way that when you take it out of the box, it's ready to use and it's only a one button thing that you need to press. So that's the whole idea.
Yeah. So which is, again, you know, exactly what you want, where a newbie or a beginner could easily start using from work go, or if you want someone who wants to get more advanced and techie and tweak things and play with things, that there actually are a couple of options for someone to use that. So that's fascinating. Great. So I personally love the device. I've really enjoyed my time having it, and I've been promoting it because, like anything, if I feel the difference and I feel the benefit, then I like to let people know that, hey, you know, if you're in a situation, did you know here's an option for you? And I think anyone who does live in darker environments for whatever reason, be that because of your latitude or because of just your lifestyle, that you're, you know, as we mentioned, because of the cities, the construction, the kind of work that you do, you don't get enough light and your body's craving. Yeah. And this is a fantastic device to be able to get light that can help the brain. So that's a great tool. And I also want to thank, because Human Charger actually has a coupon code for the device for anyone listening to the show. If you use the coupon code BIOHACK, then you'll get 20% off your purchase when you go to humancharger.com. And I think that's great for people. And I just want to say thank you for providing that.
No, that's okay. So everybody can now get 20% off. That's great.
it's a fantastic initiative just to get people to start using it. And I definitely see, again, where we've talked about the clinical aspects of why someone might want to use it then, but as with most things in this life where people are just looking for better performance in whatever aspect of their life, I think this is definitely a useful device to add to your regime to see if you can improve, in this sense, your mood, your cognition, your brain function.
That's right.
Yeah, great. Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Timo, for giving me your time today, for talking about the device and walking us through. And like I said, if you want to get your hands on one of these devices, please go ahead to humancharger.com and enter the coupon code BIOHACK. That's BIOHACK. And you too could be charging your brain up today. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Timo.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you.